Parsha B'chukosai begins with the brachos, the wonderful blessings that will come upon Klal Yisrael when they keep the Torah. Im b'chukosai telechu, if you follow my decrees and observe my commandments and perform them, then I'll provide your rains in their time, and the land will give its produce, and the tree of the field will give its fruit. And then the Chumash goes on to describe, I will provide peace in the land, you will lie down and none to frighten you, I will cause wild beasts to withdraw from the land, you will pursue your enemies, they will fall before you by the sword. And then it continues, I will place my sanctuary among you, and my spirit will not reject you. I will walk among you, I will be God unto you, and you will be a people unto me. And the final verse is, I am Hashem your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt from being their slaves. I broke the staves of your yoke, v'olech etchem komamiyot, and I led you erect. Rashi on the phrase v'olech etchem komamiyot, I led you erect, says bikomas kufa, with an upright posture. And we know the obvious question the Chasam Sofer brings down. The Gemara tells us that ordinarily those who walk in a totally erect posture is to that extent they describe such behavior as having the effect of kivyochol dislodging the Shechina, which is like Hashem says, you know, you walk with an upright posture, it's a sign of gaiva, it's a sign of haughtiness. So how do we understand here that the bracha is v'olech etchem komiyot v'komas kufa, with an upright posture? It seems to be counter to what the Gemara says. Question one. Question two, which is going to be our basic question for today, that Tatraga Rav Gosbarzal points out in source four, brachazue brachachrona sheba brachot. It's the last of the brachos. Kol brachot hochot mina kala lakaveit. The brachos start from that which is simple to that which is more intense. Vazoya maulam mikulam, right? You have rain in your time. That's nice. And then you'll have the animals dwelling peacefully. That's nice. And there'll be no enemies. That's nice. And God will dwell among you and you'll be his people. Wow, it's even higher. But yet, this is the highest. How can we understand this bracha, right, that God will break the yoke upon you, from upon you, God took you out of Egypt, and led you upright. How is this the highest of all brachas? That's a real question for today. And the secondary question is, again, how do we understand this within the context of this Gemara that you're not supposed to be standing b'komos kufa? Before we begin our study, I'd just like to make mention of the Majitzer Rebbe Zal in Source 6, the Divrei Yisrael, who says that you can understand komamiyot, upright, as from the word of kol ha-yikum. Yikum means your possessions. Mamono shel adam. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will bring you into Eretz Yisrael, mitoch harchava va'osher, with a lot of expansiveness and wealth. And we know, just like in the Shema, b'chol moldecha is the grand finale, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, and then b'chol moldecha. So likewise here, God will be among you. This is, you know, the love between all your heart and all your soul, and even greater. V'olech etchem komamiyot, I'll bring you with kol ha'yikum, with all of this wealth. Okay, that's an approach. We're not going to explore that further, just mentioning it so that we have a little bit of a full picture. There are really two ways to understand this pasuk. The first way is to say that this pasuk is really not part of the brachos at all. It's almost a commentary on the brachos. That will be approach number one. We'll explore that for a few minutes, Mirtz Hashem. Approach number two is, no, it is part of the brachos. On that second level, I'd like to, Mirtz Hashem, take a look at it in three dimensions, and we are going to go from the highest dimension down to the most basic, simplest dimension. We usually go in the opposite order. Today, we're going to go from the highest down three different dimensions. So altogether, we'll really see four different aspects. Approach number one, that this is really not part of the brachos, is found in the writings of Rav Hirsch. He speaks about that this yoke that we're speaking about, the redemption from Egypt, broke off, source 7, the Egyptian yoke from upon us. But the shafts of the yoke were still upon our necks. We still carried with us the instruments of slavery. And although we were freed forever from the yoke of the Egyptian slavery, it was possible this yoke would be placed by another. We still had the tendency to bear, instead of the Egyptian yoke, the yoke of moral, social, and political slavery. The asterisk in 7, only Matan Torah broke also the shafts of the yoke. Through Matan Torah, God forever enabled us to stand upright and granted us independence and freedom. He gave us at least the direction and guidance to walk upright in everything against everything. Komut summarizes the whole effect of keeping the mitzvos. We gained autonomy and dignity against the forces of sensuality and nature, against all social and political forces. So the way I understand our pasuk is, Hashem says, I will dwell among you, and you will not reject me, and I will not reject you. And I, if you say to yourself, well, how could this be that we can have such an intimate relationship with God? This pasuk comes to substantiate that we've already experienced this in the past. And that experience in the past is describing how Hashem in the past broke that yoke upon us of the Egyptian burden. And He led us upright to Mamet Har Sinai, wherein we had this intimate relationship with Hashem. So since we've had this in the past, it won't be unusual for this to occur in the future. Rav Schwab on prayer echoes this idea of Rav Hirsch, and he notes that we use the concept of Koma Miur twice in our davening. Once in Ahava Rabbah, when we say in our davening that Hashem should lead us Koma Miur Le'artzeinu, upright to our land right before Shema. And we also have in benching, HaRachamani Shpur Aleinu Ma'al Tzavareinu V'yolichenu Koma Miur Le'artzeinu. We have this, again, this is the bracha that we're asking for. What is this about? So again, he says that it's echoing that event that happened many years ago by Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Mamet Har Sinai. In Source 9, not only did I redeem you from slavery in Egypt, but I completely severed any vestiges of your connection to the swamp of the Egyptian culture. And he goes on to say, V'asatchem al kanfei nisharim, and within 49 days, which is where we're in right now, they found themselves standing at the foot of Har Sinai on a spiritual level elevated enough to receive the Torah from the depths of depravity and raise them to the highest possible level that they could ever reach. Accordingly, V'olech etchem komimut means that the time of Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu had raised the Jewish nation, here's the key and the arrow, up to their fullest potential. They had experienced all the nisim and the flows that were save with the Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and the manna. And when after all these great revelations of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish people finally stood at the foot of Har Sinai and were able to say, Naaseh V'nishma. At that moment they achieved the spiritual level of Adam before the sin and were at the highest level of spiritual development. This is the Koma Zkufa that Rashi understood to be the meaning of Koma Miyot. And with this we can appreciate, going back to source number 5, the Chasam Sofer. When an individual takes the initiative to walk upright, that is when the Gemara says this is no good. If, however, we act appropriately, humble, and nonetheless Hashem inspires us to reach a higher level, when Hashem has raised us up, that is not what the Gemara is talking about, where you can't walk with this higher level. So here, according to this, what we have is, V'olech etchem komiyot means, and I had led you in the past at an upright level. I had brought you to Mount Sinai, wherein you reached the level, the koma, the height of Adam HaRishon before the sin. You had then were able to access your fullest potential, and that's a sign that it can happen. It was achieved in the past. Just to take this idea of what it means to reach our fullest spiritual potential that happened at Mamet Har Sinai, which is important for us to understand as we are preparing for Shavuos. There's a very powerful insight that Rabbeinu Tam brings in Sefer HaYosha, the Dat Torah Birucham quotes. And he says that a proof that our souls are eternal and will last even beyond our physical bodies in this world is the fact that we walk, b'komas kufa, we walk in an upright posture in comparison to the animals which walk b'komas kufa in a bent over posture. And he says that every single thing that we have in this world, down to the color of plants, of fruit and vegetables, has a corresponding spiritual flow for it. And therefore, when an animal walks on all four, the animal is drawing its spiritual force from the ground. That's why it looks toward the ground. And hence, when an animal dies, that's it. It's finished. A person, on the other hand, draws their spiritual force when their head is upright from the higher source, from Kadosh Baruch Hu, from the Neshama, from the soul. And therefore, albeit that our bodies may not be around forever, our soul, our face, which is the panim, the reflection of the inner, that is something that's going to be eternal because its spiritual source comes from above the person. It comes from God, it comes from heaven. And that's what we need to understand. We need to understand that our lives are about ensuring that we live up to that spiritual potential of who we are and not the animalistic part of us that draws us down to the ground. You know, I'll add parenthetically, I often think about this when I'm driving and I see people on their phones and they're not even looking as they're crossing the street or they're walking. I'm sure you've bumped into these type of people, almost literally, right? And they remind me of this imagery of the koma kfufa, the bent over imagery where everything is looking down. Now, there's nothing wrong in looking down at your phone, but when your phone has overtaken you and technology has overtaken you, that you can't walk through the street with your head held high, then you have become, so to speak, enslaved to those desires, to that technology, and you are accentuating the animalistic parts of you and not the spiritual parts of you. And that's very sad. That's putting it mildly. And this is the way Rav Yerucham explains in Source 12 that Unklos translates the Koma Miyot Chevuta, freedom. Hainu ki inyana chevut hu anikredit hanikuda varuchniyot shel komas kufa. Real freedom is being able to stand up straight. Ki sora chevut yisora eliyot. So nefesh adam holeh lamala. The secret of real freedom is the secret of spirituality. That you can hold your head up high. V'adam ki eino oleh lamala, eino oleh bekomas kufa. And this is what it means that Hashem brought us upright. It means that I've taken you out of the burdens of Egypt in order to free you. I've taken you out of the Egyptian bondage to be Hashem's servant. And the servant of Hashem, v'ein ben chorim ke'evet Hashem. There is no one more free than the servant of God. And therefore, taking you out and breaking the yoke of the Egyptian slavery enabled you to be ultimately free. And that is the spiritual gift that we got in Mamet Har Sinai, to hold our heads up high and to realize the full potential of our spiritual being. And hence, Rav Uri Weissblum in Haras Derech points out in Source 13, that perhaps is what Rashi means when it says, Lebavur nasotetcha. At Mamet Har Sinai, I was there in order to test you. Rashi translates l'nasot, not as test, but l'gadel etchem ba'olam, to raise you in among the nation. Right? Nasot is from the word nes, banner, harimu nes. That Mamet Har Sinai was about elevation, where you realize what your greatness is. You realize to what you are capable of. And that is the gift of Mamet Har Sinai. It was the gift of Koma Miyut. It was the gift of standing upright. It was the gift of recognizing our spiritual potential. It was the gift of knowing what it means to have our head held up high, to be able to have this relationship with Hashem. So hence, on the first level, when the Pasuk tells us that, you know, it goes higher and higher, and the ultimate we would think would be, I will walk among you, I will be God unto you, you'll be my people unto me. According to this approach, that is the ultimate. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt from being their slaves, etc., and led you erect. That is showing you in history, we've had this happen to us, and therefore it won't be surprising that Hashem will be so close to us. Now, if we segue into the second aspect, we know this is the bracha. Says the Torah Zemes, the Torah Moshe, the Alsha Chakatos, he says, Umizeh kidashi etchem gamet gufchem, and Mamet Har Sinai, and not only elevated you spiritually, I elevated you physically. Sholakti etchem l'Har Sinai, lizkot l'shnei komemiyot, and Har Sinai, you had komemiyot, double, two aspects of being elevated. Chayrus mishibud malchios, you didn't have the Egyptian burden on you, and chayrus malach hamavet, and you were free from the malach hamavet. At Mamet Har Sinai, we came back to Adam Rishon before the sin, and we were back at that level of living forever. kinitkatashtem. Ken yiye ata shetitkatshu ad geder shetalech betochachem vatem bagufo v'nefesh. Says the Al Shechakados in Taurus Moshe, that is what the pasuk is referring to. Not only did I do it in the past, but the past becomes the precedent for what will happen in the future, where Hashem will be able, just like at Mamad Har Sinai, we were like Adam Arisho, and body and soul, ready to accept the divine presence on us. That again will happen in the future. So according to this, and this is going to be our highest level of the three, our pasuk is referring to the bracha of what will be in the times of Mashiach. Lufanav Navot says this clearly. V'inei la'asi lavo ne'amar v'olechetchem kamamiyot. In the future, right, Mashiach time, I will bring you on that level. Ah, you're not allowed to walk arba amos v'komas kufa. Our original question, you're not allowed to walk with your held up high. Why can't you walk with your held up high? Because you may forget God, you know. Me, I am God's gift to the world. And, you know, you think very much of yourself and very hoarding. And the squiggly of Alasi Lovo, Yaboro Shiraka Shamus, okay, Kufim, Vlachem, Yuchlu, Ledlech, Bekovats Kufat. In the future, it will be so clear the manifestation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that you're not even going to have a second thought about who's control of the world. So then, when you have your head held up high, you're not going to have that potential problem of hoardingness, because it will be clear in the future that the only reality is Hashem Echad v'Shmo Echad. And therefore, we're not afraid of the danger of this level of hoardingness, which is a mindset to think about when we say the bracha every morning of Zokev Kefufi, and we ask Hashem, and praise Hashem, for straightening up those that are bent. It's really part of this, is this request that Hashem should help elevate us, that we are at a level where we can have this spiritual relationship, that we can grow to our utmost and fullest, which is a taste, really, as we're seeing on this level of La'asi Lavo. And indeed, Rav Orba, in Mamrei Yemei Haratzo, in Source 17, notes that this is a deeper pshat, getting ready for Rosh Hashanah, Lam Natzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor Kol Amim Tikukaf Harilo Lukim Bekorina. This is the Lam Natzeach, we say seven times before Tkiya Shofar, where we're talking about how, in the future, that Hashem will be Elyon, Nora Melech Gadol Kol Aretz. He will be the supreme king of the whole land. And in this kapitel, we speak about Yivchar Lano Anachlatenu. Hashem will choose for us our land, Eka'on Yaakov Asher Ahev Zela, and the pride of Yaakov. And he says, what is this pride of Yaakov? It's Olech Etchem Kamamiyot. The pride of Yaakov is being able to walk straight, not to be afraid of what the Goyim are going to say, to be able to have what we call the stability to stand firm for our Avodas Hashem. And he says that this is going to be in the future, when we are going to come back to that level. Maftiach lano Kodesh Baruch Hu sheyechadesh et shiur kamoto and the squiggly shel Kla Yisrael sheyitze mimatzav hakatnut v'titgale gadluto amiti. That when Mashiach comes, Jewish people are going to be removed from the stigma, from these New York Times cartoons, and we are going to be able to stand with pride, and people are going to look at us with pride, and our greatness is going to, our great stature is going to be seen by everybody. This vision of the future is what the Ketuv Sofer refers to when he says, and this is very powerful. He says, in the future, Hashem is going to break our bonds. What bonds is he going to break? He's going to break Ula'asi lo yavoda lanu la'ol and v'niyeka demarishon. In the future, not only did Hashem break the bonds in the past, but I will break, like I did break, I will break the bonds in the future as well. What are the bonds? The bonds are the Yetzer Hara, wherein I look at my avodas Hashem as a burden, as, oh, it's an old Torah. Ula'asi reshbor, the end of 19, motot aleichem, v'olech etchem kamiyot, shelo yekiyum ritzoni ol aleichem. The will of God will not feel like a burden on us. Rak b'ritzon tov, tasu kelse b'shalo, the circle asterisk. We are going to do the will of Hashem as our will, And that's what it means with Kobe Meyot, like Adam Arisha before the sin. It's not going to be a burden, but this is going to be our desire. Wow. Says the Farshim, the Mepi Sofri Vesfarim, echoes this as well. That now, when I do mitzvos, they are mitzvos lav lai not nitzanu in 20. They're not here for our pleasure. They have to be looked at as a burden. Kafolim harkikikis, we have to look at it that God forced us on ours. And we need to have this force, because otherwise the Yetzer Hara will get to us. Right? If I didn't have this, I have to do this, so like, it won't get done. Because it's not going to get done on my own volition. Like, ugh, it's too hard. You want me to daven? You want me to bench? Ugh, it's so hard. So I have to know. Ainli Breira, I have no choice, so that's why I'm doing it. But in the future, as Rambam points out in Source 21, very famous Ramban in Parashat Nitzavim, Perek Lamed of Dvarim in the Bracken, Source 21, Aval Bimos, HaMashiach, but the Messianic era, it will be mankind's nature to choose the good. The heart will not crave that which is not appropriate and will not have any desire for it at all. This is circumcision, as mentioned here. For lust and craving are like a foreskin for the heart, and therefore the circumcision of the heart is that the heart shall not lust and shall not desire. Man shall return at that time to the spiritual state that he was in before the sin of the first man, when he would do by nature that which is proper to do, and he did not have in his will the simultaneous pull of one thing and its opposite. This is the bracha. Hateva yiyeh, back to 20. The nature will be Shiyasu Amitzos L'Kayem Ritzon Hashem, to do the will of Hashem. So here, my friends, on the second level, how do we understand the bracha? The bracha is a very beautiful bracha. The bracha is looking into the future. It's looking to the times of Mashiach. And we're saying in the times of Mashiach, that which happened at Mamad Har Sinai is going to repeat itself. That Hashem is going to have an intimate relationship with us, and we are going to be able to have this intimate relationship with Him, because the bonds of the being forced, the bonds of our taiva, of our yetzahara, not to do the will of God, are going to be broken. And my teva, my nature, is going to be to do the will of God. That's what I'm going to yearn for. That's what I want to do. So therefore, when those bonds of the yetzahara and the all of Torah are broken, I will be led upright. I'll be led like Adam Arisha before the sin. I will want to do the will of God for my own volition. That, my friends, is the highest level. Not only will God be among me, that's great, that comes from God, but where am I? This is where I am. I am V'olech Etchem Komiyot. I'm going to be upright. I'm going to do the will of God coming from myself. That's the tremendous bracha that's found in this section. It's a bracha which is looking into the times of Mashiach, looking into the times when the world will be back to a perfected state and the Jewish people will be looked at in its pristine form. Now, my friends, if we move down from that very high level, down a little bit into our world, and then we'll move into even further into our world, we look into the parsha, we see that much of the brachos are very much about the here and now. Rain, that's pretty much here and now. Food, that's here and now, right? Not having war, not having enemies, that's the here and now. So we could easily say, okay, that's why it develops into ultimate reward is the future. Or we could say, no, all the reward that's found here is very much about our world before Mashiach comes. If that's the case, we need to understand, well, how do I then understand this pasuk, that Hashem will break the bond and lead us upright, having to do with the world as we have it now, before the time of Mashiach. Which leads us to level number two within the second aspect of this is part of the bracha. And that's Rav Shraga Grossbart Zatzal in Source 25, Dat Shraga. He brings a medrash about the Churban, right? Also coming toward the summer season of Tisha B'Av. It's a very, very, very poignant medrash. B'sha'ah she'Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, the time that Nebuchadnezzar heglad kol malchei Yehuda, sent into exile the kings of Yehuda, hayu mutualim b'shalshalot shel barzel, they were in chains, v'ochim osvat ha'nahar, and they were walking on the banks of the river. Shalad Avadav, Nebuchadnezzar asked his servants, how come they're standing upright without a burden on them? Don't you have any burden to put on them? So the servants took some sand and put it on them, and they were bent over. At that moment, Klal Yisrael started crying until their cries came up to heaven. At that hour, and the asterisk, Hashem wanted to bring the whole world down to nothingness. And refused to get tanchumim, to get that they could comfort him. And he said to the Malchei Hasharis, go carry the burden from upon them, and if you don't, I will. So the obvious question is, there's a lot obviously talked about this Medrash, we're just going to look at one component. There's a Churban, there's a destruction. They're put into Golos. They're in chains. And there's silence from heaven. Suddenly, they have this burden on them, and they're bent over, and Hashem starts saying, whoa, I've gone. I'm ready to turn the world into nothingness. Take this burden off of them. Like, what was the trigger in this burden? So he explains on one level, in the asterisk in 26, you know what komaskufa means? You know what it means that they walked upright and that bothered Nebuchadnezzar so much? What bothered Nebuchadnezzar wasn't the fact that they weren't carrying a burden. He didn't like the fact that they walked into Golos with their heads held high, that they felt proud of who they were. Derech hatara ve'nam shatim libam lil agam shalumos ha'olam. And they're impervious to what the nations have to say. Ve'nam hochim sholel achar pitui yitzara. And they're not impressed to follow the enticements of the Yitzhara. This is what it means. You can't hold your head up high in an arrogant way. But this is holding up their head held high in a way of saying, I'm proud to be Jewish. And this is the Zoy Bracha Na'alabi Yoter Mikol HaBrachot. This is the most beautiful of brachos. Shemnei Yisrael Zochim Kasherim Ochim B'chukot HaTorah Sheyochu B'komas Kufa Neged Kol HaMalikim HaMafriim. This is the bracha. The bracha is not only Hashem will be with us, but that we will be able to stand proud for what Judaism represents. That we are going to be able not to be affected by what the other people say about us. And that is why, when Hashem saw that they were bent over, this was the concern. Are they going to be able in Golos to stand strong, to hold on to their Yiddishkeit at all costs? And that is the bracha that's found here. As Rav Sternbach points out in 28, and this is, we know, so relevant for our lives. Matsui Shebin Adam Matzniim Uvdot Heyotam Shamrei Torah. Oftentimes, particularly in Chutz La'aretz, people hide the fact that they are Shomer Torah mitzvos. U'mekayimim ha-mitzvos bechbeh mitoch busha, and they do it quietly out of embarrassment. Ve'ein ze'ela p'tichut u'magrat ba'ofen kiyum ha-Torah. That's taking away from the beauty of the Torah. Shekiyuma tzarich la'asot bekomas kufa. That's the greatest bracha, that I wear my Judaism with pride. V'nitbarchu Yisrael. That everyone can see with pride, this is the will of Hashem. Rev Dunner, 29. This is the siyata d'shmaya, the help from above that we need to keep the mitzvahs, but also the komas kufa, with heads held up high. A little bit of a tongue twister. And this, he says, Rav Dunner in 29, it's not enough for the bracha, aleinu lechanech et yaldeinu, we have to teach our children, v'gam et atzmeinu, and ourselves, l'gaiva yudin, this Jewish pride, l'komas kufa beruchnias, to help, whatever that is, high in spirituality, to feel this greatness. Rav Volpe says this so beautifully in Source 30. The Torah concludes this description with Hashem's declaration, I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt from being their slaves. I broke the rods of your yoke, and I led you erect, komios. Rashi translates it with erect stature. The erect stature mentioned here in the asterisks in 30 is not referring to a physical stature. The Torah is not discussing the proud gait of a soldier armed with an M16 or a general sporting a chest decorated with medals. Rather, the Torah is describing a feeling of spiritual elevation, dignity, and greatness. This is a feeling born of the combination of toil and Torah, performance of Hashem's mitzvos, and sincere prayer. A person who exerts himself in these areas is bound to feel the spiritual sensation of walking komios. This feeling is a natural outcome of immersion in spirituality. Such a person lives a life of spiritual greatness and is elevated above trivialities that occupy most people. In addition, he walks with dignity and with knowledge that he's following the proper path. My friends, how many times do we see this in our own lives? You're going out for lunch with a friend, with a few friends, right? Somebody's birthday. So you take them out to a nice restaurant and you have a beautiful lunch together. And they serve garlic bread, and you love garlic bread. Nobody gets up to wash, and they, you know, said you're eating the bread, and, you know, it's not such a big deal. Do you have that gumption that it takes if I bow the bow b'darach Hashem to get up and wash? Or let's say they do get up and wash, but you know what, they don't have a bencher, so it's too embarrassing to ask the restaurant, do you have a bencher? Or, you know, I guess today's day and age, people just pull out their phone and have a bencher. Okay, whatever it is, you don't want to pull out your phone to bench. Or do you say, you know what, let me just bench, I'll be ready in a few minutes. And with pride, and with a smile on your face, bekomios, bekomos kufa, that you're at a meeting and it's going over and it's getting dark outside in the winter, can you get up and say at this business meeting, you'll have to excuse me for a few minutes, I need to pray. Bekomos kufa, that's the bracha. The bracha is that we can wear our Judaism with pride. You know, they tell a story of a group of young women who were working together at an office. There happens to be, this is just a parenthesis, an amazing new book that just came out. I forgot the name. Ari Wasserman. It's something about, it can make it work, can make it all work. I don't know. Something along this line. He had a book for men, and now it just came out for women, on the hashkafa and the halacha applying to women in the workplace, shaking hands and yichud and head covering and getting off for kids and Shabbos and all, you name it. So very, very, make it all work, something like that, making it all work. Along those lines, Ari Wasserman with his wife, Miriam Wasserman, it's a very, very special book put out by Feltheim, which is very important because in a workplace we find many challenges as women. Okay, at the end of that parenthesis in that PR, blurb, now back to the story. So this group of young women were working together, and at one point they had to work on a project, they had to stay late, so they said, okay, let's go out for dinner. So they went to a fancy restaurant, obviously the company was paying for it, and the first one just said, I'll just have a cup of water, I'm not really hungry, and the next one has an apple, and it, like all four or five of them, each one of them, and they look at each other with like a smirk, and like it was clear that all of them were Shomer Kashrut, but no one had the ability or had that confidence really to say, you know what, can we go to a kosher restaurant? And then they laughed that, you know, let's just go out for kosher pizza, you know what I'm saying? Or I don't know, wherever they went. That's a very sad story, my friends. Why can't we wear our Judaism with pride? Why can't we say, this is who I am and I'm proud of it? And I'm not embarrassed, just like people aren't embarrassed that they're vegetarian, and they're not embarrassed that they have, you know, a seafood diet or whatever diet they have. Why can't we be proud of our Judaism? Why can't we daven in a way that we don't vulnerable anymore? Like, where do we hide ourselves? So daven mincha in an airport. Pride, Jewish pride, just like these Muslims put out their carpets and they do whatever they do. Right, we're not as dramatic. Jewish pride. That's what we need to have. We feel elevated. We feel different. That I'm not embarrassed by my Judaism. I wear it with pride, and I wear it with a komas kufa. My friends, I want to take this idea one step deeper, and this is really the key of the shir, even though we have a third level. I want to learn together a piece from the piece Netzer Rebbe Hashem Yinkom Damo in Eish Kodesh. And then echo this piece in a piece for a Freifeld Tatzav. Listen closely. Open yourself up to this piece. Take it home with you. It's for life. He speaks about the idea of Ani Ladoti Vidoti Li. I'm to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. Now keep in mind, he's writing this in the ghetto. He's writing this in not such easy times about love to Hashem. And then he says there's another pasuk. And that pasuk is Ani Ladoti, I am to my beloved, V'alai Tshukato. And on me is his desire. So he notes here that it uses the word alai, on me, and not a lie to me. It's like a very intense relationship. So he explains. Ava mitchila, in the beginning, kishani ladodi vidodi li, when I am to my beloved is to me. Sheidea tshuka shalano shani ladodi, hu yitbarach mitkarev elenu, to the extent that I have a desire to come close to God, he responds. Lachain, therefore, rakifi erech hayecholot shalano bimshokhi karvut elukuto yitbarach, to the extent that I can connect to God, God connects to me. Hashem Sucha. Squiggly. But when you continuously have this relationship and you continuously grow closer to Hashem, as gam chukatoi barach mitarer elenu, that awakens Hashem's love towards you. Va'av nasa, and then it becomes va'alai tshukato, on me is his desire. Ha'tshuka shelo, hamshacha shelo, ha'idei ha'tshuka shelanu b'libcha. It is above and beyond even the desire that I have shown toward God. It goes above this. Rak alai ha'yoter gdola mimenu, it's even greater than me. V'lo tshukato b'ovad yoter gdola mimenu. Listen to this, not only in the bracket, is his desire greater than me. When Hashem shows this increase in love, I become bigger. I become greater. When Hashem shows me this intense love, I take up more space. I become greater. Let's try to understand this. Et hanila dodi, I giving to my beloved, we have to give in everything we do. Torah, mitzvos, machshava, dibur, maisah, speech, thought, action. The gam sheyeda shezoi karova tachluto, and this is our purpose to do the will of Hashem. And he says, it's very interesting, and I think as women we can really appreciate this. He says, our lives should be centered around God. So you say, well, I have to go to work, and I have to do a lot of things. So it's really time to think about God. So he says, let me give you an example. He says, food. If I were to write a diary of how much time I spend actually eating, so it's not a long time, right? Between breakfast, lunch, and dinner, who we should lunch, between breakfast and dinner, what is it, a half hour? But I'm consumed about food all day, right? Like already, I'm taping now tonight, I already took out food to defrost for tomorrow. Like my mind is, what's going to be on for tomorrow night's dinner, right? That's what we're holding. Like, particularly as women, we wake up, we say, okay, when am I going to make dinner? You know, how am I going to fit it in? It's all about food. Even though I actually consume the food in a very short time, it takes up a lot of my energy. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, even though we may only daven a certain amount of times and say brachos, he should take up that amount of space. That should be the intensity of the relationship. When we give ourselves to God, as Poel v'alai tshukato v'alai l'maloi meni shegamanu mitgadlim mitalim baruch nirfikufaniyut, we become greater physically, spiritually. And that's why the pasuk first says, upanite alechem, I'm going to turn to you. Kamayim panim alapanim, like the way you turn to me, I'll turn to you. However, then the ultimate bracha, v'alech etchem komim miyut, that you are going to be raised even greater. Koma miyut, double koma, higher and higher. V'alai tshukato. That's going to be the result. Rav Freifeld speaks about this in 33. We say every day in Ashrei. Ashrei yoshvei b'secha. Praise are those that sit and dwell in your house. O jalucha sela, more will they praise you forever. What does this mean, more they will praise you forever? Let's begin by examining the words. The praises of a person. So what do these words refer? They refer to the excellence of a person, the brilliance, the shine, the glow, the achievement, the optimum, the ultimate expansion of his being. When does a person shine brightest? When is he at the point of fullest expansion? Not when he's wealthy. Not when he's famous. Not when he can indulge in all of his desires for pleasure. A person's at his greatest squiggly when he's making a maximum use of divinely endowed abilities. That is when a person reaches true excellence. The measure of excellence is the power of own. When a person is more, when he is in an expanded state of being. It's 34. So when does a person reach this praiseworthy state? When does he achieve an expansion of his being, a sense of moreness? When you're ashrei Yoshev Esecha, when he dwells in your house, when he sits in the Beis Medrash, when he comes into close contact with the Torah, that is when he can access the power of Od. That's when he reaches true excellence. Let me share with you, my friends, a story, a gewaltic story, from Rabbi Spiro's new book, The Spark Within. Listen to this story. It's absolutely incredible. It's on page 39 of the book. It's a story about the Ribnitzer Rebbe, Rav Chaim Zanvil Abramovitz, who lives in Munzik, and who would have the custom, I'm just talking about Nilodoti of Slichos, of first saying Tikkun Chasod at midnight, and then say Slichos at 3 in the morning. Now, 3 in the morning is really an odd hour to say Slichos. Either people say it, you know, in the middle of the night, or they say it Fasikin early in the morning. 3 in the morning is what we call Nishtahin Nishtahir. It's like not anywhere. So there was a chassid of his who wanted to help him get a minyan at 3 in the morning. He walks into the Beis Medrash and he sees a friend of his who had just started saying the first few psukim of Ashrei. He says, "Are you ready, Jant, saying Slichos?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Stop." He says, "Why don't you join me looking for a minyan for the Rebbe to say Slichos?" Great, to daven with the Rebbe for Slichos, amazing. So they go to the Rebbe, happen to be 7 other people there at 3 in the morning with the Rebbe, and those 2 make 10. The Rebbe puts on his talus to be the, you know, the chazan for Slichos, and he stops for a very long time. He's thinking, people thinking, obviously it's deep in thought. And then, Ashrei Yoshev Esecha. And then he stops. And he turns around and he says, "Did anyone here say Slichos?" "No." He stops again. "Did anyone here start saying Slichos?" So this fellow said, "Yeah, I said like the first 3 psukim." He says, "Ah, that's it." He says, and I want to read this to you because this is absolutely fantastic. He says, "Don't you see? The moment you began to say Slichos, you became so much closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. You were immediately forgiven. Because of that, you're no longer in the same situation as the rest of us. You have gained appeasement and atonement in the eyes of Hashem. We have to wait for somebody else to make the minyan." My friends, do you understand this? A few lines in Ashrei, you're already on a level of atonement and appeasement. Oh, Ya'alu Chasela, that's the old. That's the Komemios. That's the Alain Chukato. That's that feeling that we have to understand of the Jewish pride. That when we say a few Kapitel Tehillim, when we say a Bracha, don't think that I'm the same person. No. Understand, and if we understood this, this would enable us to be Komemios. This would enable us to walk upright with this pride. I'm a different person, higher and higher. Alai Chukato. Hashem's closeness is upon me, and I'm a different person. I'm an elevated person. I'm a person of Od Yahalelu Chasela. I'm not. I can't join the same minion. Wow. This, my friends, is the power that we're dealing with here. V'olech etchem komemiyot is the highest of brachas. When you can stand erect, when you can stand tall and say, my closeness to Ribono Shel Olam is real. You can't get a bigger bracha than that. So, my friends, we have, that's not a bracha, it's just a substantiation of what happened in the past. 2, no, it is a bracha. Times of Mashiach, we're not going to have any yoke of Yetzer Hara when we're completely connected to God. No, in our lives, when we have this Jewish pride, when we walk around feeling like I'm not embarrassed to fill in the blank, we become higher, we become greater. We feel Hashem's presence on us. A few lines in Ashrei, you're already in a different place. And then we have the final level. We'll see Omelevsky, Zatzal, and Source 35. Our sages teach in the asterisk that one should not walk, especially erect, with a proud barrier, for God's glory fills the world. Yet it appears from God's promise that a barrier called Mios, a head held high, was the objective of all God did for the Jewish people from the time he redeemed them from slavery. In fact, this promise seems to indicate that a state of Komios will also be the culmination of all blessing that will bestow upon them until Mashiach comes. It's a coincidence, Rabbi Levi, that this presentation of blessing begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet from Aleph, Im Bechukotai Telechu, and concludes with the final letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Saf of Komiyut. This hints that the entire alphabet signifies the totality of the blessing in store for those who observe the Torah's commandments. They will be rewarded by God with everything good, from A to Z, Aleph to Tef. Talmud states, reciting the Ashrei prayer 3 times each day, 30 circuits, earns one a place in the world to come. The reason, says the Talmud, is because Ashrei contains two essential elements, praise of God for sustaining all creation, and the alphabetical order of its verses. Because of these two features, Ashrei is considered superior to either Capital 119, whose verses also follow the alphabetical order, or Capital 136, the Halal HaGadol, whose praises for God of the great miracles he performed, but not in the sequence of the alphabet. 37, the alphabetical progression of the verses in Ashrei from beginning to end, indicates a systematic order and the rule of the natural system by which God runs the world. That he sustains all of creation indicates God's personal involvement with the world in ways that transcend the rules of nature he himself established. On rare occasions, the hand of God, divine providence, is manifest in an overt manner. But generally, we have nature, right? The apple grows on the tree, right? An orange doesn't grow on an apple tree. Ashrei is unique in that it juxtaposes these two elements. We see a systematic orderliness that characterizes the world. A causes B, B causes C, and so on. But that orderliness is only on the surface, for in truth, A causes B and B causes C only because divine providence wills it to be so. This is the miraculous nature of the commonplace. The supernatural gives orderliness to nature. Hence, when someone recites Isaiah 3 times a day, he gains a firm grasp in this message and thereby earns a place in the world to come. The Arizal says, you know what Olam Haba means? It can be understood, the world that comes. A here and now world that is always coming in the present for those who can perceive it. By noticing the miraculous hand of God in the commonplace and the workings of nature, one can earn the world to come, even in this world. And this is our challenge. Our challenge is when I see something that seems to be nature. I see that, you know, I plant, and I get, and I work, and I make money, and all of this seems to be natural, cause and effect. It has nothing to do with that. Many people plant, many people work, and don't come up with anything. This is all because Hashem is watching over each and every one of us. And that is why if you say Halal HaGadol every day, it's like a blasphemous thing, because it's as if only the great miracles God has done, and not the day in and day out miracles. And therefore, the blessings listed in the opening passage, B'chul Kosai, are all natural events. Rain will fall, the land will produce in abundance, the enemy will not attack, and so on. When we are sustained through natural means, we tend to feel a certain degree of indebtedness toward the immediate source of that sustenance, be it the land, a boss, or some other agent. Recognizing the hand of God in natural phenomena, in the rainfall, in the produce, in the tranquility and security we experience is more difficult by far than recognizing his divine presence in the manna God sent from heaven. Recognize the hand of God in the hand that gives us our paycheck is certainly more difficult than finding God in winning the lottery. The only absolute recognition that everything comes from God allows us to be genuinely independent and free. To the extent that we fail to see the miraculous in our everyday life and livelihood, we retain some of the enslavement of Egypt. And this is the promise. I am Hashem, your God, who brought you out of Egypt. I will break the bands of your yoke, and I will make you walk komios. It's indeed the consummation of all blessing. For with the yoke of subservience to nature broken, we will rightfully feel independent, proud, and confident. Not proud before God, as our sages have warned us against, but proud vis-a-vis the rest of creation. We'll truly be able to hold our heads high. And this is on the last page where Gamliel speaks about Antiva Torah. This is the message and why you see me trying this mentioned here. We've been talking about the last few weeks as a major theme. Yitzhiya Mitzrayim, the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, has taught us that min ha-nisim ha-gluyim adam odeh v'nisim ha-nistarim. God isn't going to do miracles in every generation for every single person. The Egyptian experience was one to teach us that just as God has the ability to do the great miraculous, He is the same one who's functioning and leading our lives on the intimate levels of every aspect that happens in our lives. And we have to be aware of that. And we have to live that. And that's breaking the yoke. The yoke that we're breaking here is the yoke of nature. It's the yoke of saying that, oh, these things happen. Like, what do you expect? Life, it goes on this way. We have to live with this clear emunah, this clear faith of Ein Od Mevatel. Nothing happened except for God. You know, it's interesting. I gave a Yom Iyun today at one of the different seminaries, And I was talking about Nisyonos, challenges in life, and one of the things I was speaking about is to have in your toolkit trust in Hashem, feeling Hashkacha Prati, and realizing that Hashem is leading every step of the way. That was one of the themes of the class. So I had a girl come over to me afterwards, and she says, here's my problem. Emunah is my very problem. She says, I know intellectually God is everywhere, but I don't really see Him. Like, why is it in the coincidence? And I'm thinking to myself, oh my, we really have a problem here. Because if you don't have that core emunah, so then there's no tashtit, there's no foundation for everything to be built upon. This is what Torah is about, that you have to be able to understand that things aren't accidental. You have to be able to understand that everything comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the foundation of everything. And then when I look at the rain, I thank God for every drop of rain, because I know it comes from Him. I know these are direct blessings from above. And the same thing holds true of my paycheck, and the same thing holds true of every interaction that I have in life. They're all gifts from God. So I've gone from the height of Yemoda Mashiach, where I'm not going to have a Yitzhahara, and the yoke of bondage to my Yitzhahara is going to be broken, and all I will see is wanting to do the will of God, going back to Adam Arisha before the sin, Koma Miyos, that higher level, right? And then in my world, Jewish pride. In my world, understanding the Oja Luchasela, the Alay Chukato, that feeling of love, that feeling of Jewish pride, not to be embarrassed. And we have so many times that we're tested. You're with a group of people from people. That's even harder sometimes. And the discussion starts talking about X. And you know it's headed toward Lashon Hara. Do we have that Jewish pride to say, come on, my friends, we know. And to stop it. Or are you too embarrassed? Koma miut, standing upright. Pride, not be embarrassed. And finally, Komiyuri is about seeing Hashem in Ashrei, Aleph Tetaf, in all aspects of life, in the little ant, in the apple, in everything that happens. There's no randomness, no coincidence, but you meet God at every opportunity. That's standing upright and being able to appreciate all the gifts that God has bestowed you with. Let's end, my friends, with perhaps a completely different understanding. What we say in our benching, when we ask Hashem, which is so similar to our pasuk in 41, at least nusach Ashkenaz, Harachamanu Yishpor Uleinu Me'al Savareinu V'Hu Yolichenu Komiyot Liratzenu, which is mamish like our pasuk, that Hashem should break the yoke from upon our necks, and He should lead us upright to our land. So we'll just make mention in 42, Lekach V'Lipu brings the Chavetz Chaim. Why do we have all these Harachamans? Right, the Eidorta Mizrach of 18, parallel to Shemoneh Esrei. It's that after you do a mitzvah, it's an Eid Ratzon, it's a time, a favor, to ask Hashem for something. Similar, he says at the end of 42, after you light candles, woman daven. So that benching, for the men at least, is from the Torah, for the women's, for the rabbis. Nevertheless, you're doing a mitzvah according to all views. And therefore, when you do a mitzvah, you open the gates of heaven. Once the gates are open, you beseech God. So we have all these harachaman, Hashem, the merciful one, should. So what does this mean? So Moshe brings the Gevaldik idea. He says, if you take a look at this Harachaman and you compare it to our Pasuk, there's a fundamental difference. In this Harachaman, it's who Yishpor Uleinu. He'll break the yoke. In our Pasuk, we're breaking the poles that are holding the yoke. And he explains that the poles holding the yoke is when you work the ground, you have poles that hold the yoke on the animal. When the plowing season is over, you throw away the poles, you keep the yoke for the next season and get new poles. Because you know you're going to plow again. We ask Hashem that we shouldn't be in Golos anymore. Not only should He break the poles, but break the yoke as well. Aval ata begaluteinu achrona, the end of 41, shelachar hagula begalut zu shuv kvar lo tiyeh galut nosefet. Now there won't be another exile. This is going to be the Gula Shlema. And if it's going to be the Gula Shlema, Hare Shekana Yitzia Tiyeh Kishvira Sa'ol Atzmo, then break the yoke itself, not Velo Rak Shvira Samoto, not just the poles. And that's why we daven for the Gula Harachamanu Yishbor Uleinu Me'al Tzavareinu. Break the yoke itself. V'hu Yolicheinu Komil Larseinu. Allow us to go upright as proud Jews, as proud Am Yisrael, into Eretz Yisrael. And Rachamani Shlachlanu at Eliyahu Hanavi Zechur L'Tov, said Eliyahu Hanavi, that we're able to live a life of Komamius, a life of Adam Risha before the sin, a life of standing upright, a life like Maman Har Sinai, that we are open to be Mekabel the Torah, that we indeed live up to our fullest potential.